All right. Episode 232. Now, we're going to talk about something that I know several of you had questions for me about after Ryan Haley made that statement about fruit is different than results. And I want you to hear this conversation that Ryan and I actually have regarding the difference between fruit and results. And we even go into how to produce much fruit. Ryan makes another statement in here, which is just a fantastic statement that he got from actually a book that he read from Andy Mason. And it's something that I want you guys to get a hold of as you're listening to this. Because sometimes we hear God talking to us, or we think God might be talking to us. And we used Andy Mason, or you know, something that Ryan says in here. He says, Andy Mason is used to say, it's probably me, or it might be God. But now he says, it's probably God, or it might be me. Man, that's just a powerful, powerful statement right there. That when we can actually get to, you know what, it's probably God talking to me or speaking through me right now, and it's probably not me. We've got to get to that point in our lives as Kingdom Success listeners and people so that we actually can start to produce much fruit. Because there is a difference between results and fruit, and we go into that in this episode. So gang, I'm excited about it. Thank you again, Ryan, for being on the podcast, guys. I'm going to put a link down in the show notes so that you can link out to Ryan. But man, again, this is powerful stuff here, guys. This is changing your mindset to being more fruit-centered and spirit-led than actually relying upon self and relying upon your own thoughts. Hope you guys enjoy it. Let's jump into this right now.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29 says, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Fellow Marketplace Christians, stop apologizing and start winning. Welcome to the Success Edge, the show that helps you take your walk as a Marketplace Christian to the next level. Here's your host, Christian entrepreneur, Tyler McCart.
So what's going on, Kingdom Success listeners? Tyler McCart coming at you. Excited about this conversation. I've got back Mr. the one and only, Ryan Haley. And I am excited to talk to you guys today. He and I are going to have a conversation about fruit and results. What's the difference? Ryan made this like bold, bodacious statement when I had him on last time. About there's a difference between results and fruit. And you know, Ryan, I know that you and I we've been going back and forth even since the time and kind of texting and so forth like that about this topic, and we finally got the chance to come together, you know, via Zoom and really expound on this, because I feel like that there's something out there, because everybody wants results. And also the world wants results too. You know, that's how we as Christians, I mean, sorry, we live in this world, so the results have to be there. And if you don't have the results, no one's going to pay attention to you. No one cares about you. They don't really care what you say. But when you have results, then all of a sudden they start to perk up. They start to listen. Yet, with the statement you made about there's a difference between fruit and results, I feel like there's an even deeper thing for us to have a conversation about today.
Absolutely. And just for the record, as I mentioned last time, I can't take credit for that necessarily. Actually, it was a friend of mine in Bible college named Ryan Skarka who said that to me. And I don't know if he got that from someone else or if he just thought of that on his own. But I think to me, that's a very cogent and insightful revelation. And that's what I have kind of, excuse me. That's what I've noticed in my life in the last several years in particular. And so what I mean when I talk about there's a difference between results and fruit is that we can do amazing things directly through the effort of our human strength, wisdom, understanding, et cetera. And it's absolutely phenomenal, you know, because we're built in God's image. You know, you look at the people in the world, just the history of the world, what mankind has been able to accomplish. I mean, we sent people to the moon. We've got all kinds of amazing technology these days. So it is absolutely amazing that we can get the level of results that we can just on our own human level. But that would be, in my mind, not the optimal way to be able to get desired outcomes. And as I'm obviously a fan of saying with my platform and the book and everything, there is a better way. And Amen. What I consider a better way is God's design specifically for less stress, more rest, and greater success. And I think it's important how we define success. For me, that just means trusting God, listening for what he's saying, following his guidance and doing it. And I know that when I do that, the results, or better yet, in this case, the fruit will come. Mm. And so, as we've talked about several times before, Tyler, God's best for us under the gospel, the new covenant, is that we don't have to earn our salvation, our deliverance, healing, prosperity, success in life, if you will. Nope. It is given to us freely as a gift based solely on the performance of Jesus Christ and his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and miraculous resurrection.
Amen.
And that does not end at salvation. That's the beginning point. And as I was just talking to somebody the other day, you know, it's kind of ridiculous if we really think about it to think that the most important gift or reality, our entire eternity, we all can agree in the church pretty much for the most part that we know that we're saved by grace through faith, not our own works, lest any man boast. Yet then we continue to live our life as if it's our responsibility, the pressure's on us, it's our human effort. And so when I use the word results, I'm talking about the direct linkage between human effort, personal activity, and what comes out of that. And again, while that's amazing what we can do with that, we're missing out on far better outcomes, as well as not having to sacrifice our health, our peace, our mental or emotional state to strive and make things happen. And I think this is no more relevant than in the business world. As you know, Tyler, from being in business yourself and for a lot of your listeners and my listeners. And so that's where I found myself striving a lot, toiling, yeah. You know, the hard work that is not from God, of, you know, straining, striving, stressing to try to get these outcomes as if it all depends on us. And so when we get this revelation of God's grace, we can tap into his perfection, his perfect wisdom, his perfect strength, the foolishness of God, which is wiser than men, the weakness of God, which is wiser than human strength, from 1 Corinthians 1:25. And when I started cultivating this aspect of, okay, I'm not going to go straight to just doing the task and trying to get it done. It's getting fruit is a more indirect result, and it may take longer at first, but you're ultimately going to get not only greater outcomes, but you're going to be able to do it without paying the cost of your peace and your relationships and health and all those things that tend to go by the wayside when we get into that human striving treadmill. And so the analogy I would use for this, a couple of different analogies. Number one is, you know, in agriculture, you can't make the fruit do anything. You can only create an environment and cultivate and nourish things that result in that. So, you know, our part in that process is to till the soil, you know, get the land healthy. Obviously, a very important part is sowing a seed, which we talked about last time, putting that in the ground, then watering it and making sure it gets sunlight. But the actual fruit that is born from that is not a direct result of our effort or process. It is a natural process that just happens over time. And, you know, the apple tree's not straining, like you said last time, you know, it's not straining to try to pop out these apples. It's just all it has to do, the branch just needs to be connected to the vine. And that's true with us in our relationship with God too. And the other analogy I would use in a maybe more of a business sense is, maybe results would be the outcome of, creating something, each item, each unit by hand. And, you can do that. There's a quality of craftsmanship and all that stuff that goes into it. But, over time, you're going to be really limited in your ability to scale that. And so what I would consider fruit in this analogy would be setting up the assembly line, right? You set the system in place and you put these processes together, and then, and that's going to require more upfront time, capital, and effort to put that system in place. But once you have the system in place, you can, you know, exponentially exceed the output and hopefully also the quality through different automated processes and controls that'll give you a better product and more of it. So you can have more quality and more quantity. And eventually, once you've set that system in place, in this case, the assembly line, that's going to continue paying dividends, you know, on a high scale with very little effort on your part once you've set that whole thing up. And so bringing it all back to kind of just close this thought out is that in our spiritual life, I think that the assembly line, if you will, is constructing biblical truth-based paradigms and belief systems that tap into God, as opposed to us trying to try really hard to do the right thing, not to do the wrong thing, to try to figure things out on our own. We have to repent, which just means simply to change your thinking.
Right.
And then once we've done that and relied on God, and we know that He is the one managing the assembly line, that He is ultimately the business owner with the burden of business ownership and responsibility, then we get to outsource a lot of that, and we just get to participate in that process, you know, whether it's tilling the soil, planting the seed, giving it sunlight and water, or if it's, you know, just continuing to build that assembly line, whatever that looks like in your life or business. And we're going to get, again, that fruit's going to happen effortlessly and naturally if we just put that system in place, whether it's a belief system or an actual, you know, business system, whatever it is. And that is going to give us much more, much better results, but with, again, less effort, less stress, but greater success.
Man, that's good. Because the thing is it's the thought process is at a higher level. That's why God says, you know, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are, you know, higher than your thoughts. And once we actually can, because if you can do it, like you're talking about the whole assembly line thing, you know, that master craftsman, well, he can do that with his eyes closed. Okay. He can do that with his eyes closed because he's done that. And it, you know, really what you kind of start thinking about is like, is there any faith in that? You know, once you start, you know, really mastering this, you know, is there faith in what you're doing to get that result? But where fruit kind of comes in, and something that I've really since that conversation you and I had, where fruit comes in, the fruit is kind of going along the assembly line, or even that apple tree, whatever, how you want to look at it, that fruit is ongoing. So that fruit doesn't stop. So, and it also, and I jotted down some notes. So I had some notes, okay, that I had jotted down. So there's a lot of things going on in that fruit. Number one, that fruit is ongoing. And what I mean by that is, it not only started with the seed in the ground that was originally that produced the apple tree or that assembly line, whenever you have that aha moment, that idea of the seed of like, okay, I can scale this. Here's how I might scale this. Because that idea is a seed. And what happens is that all of a sudden that seed is involved and it produces nourishment. That fruit produces nourishment for not only you, but for another.
Exactly.
Because if you go back to your analogy, Ryan, if I'm the master craftsman and I'm, you know, making widgets all on my own, I'm just using a business analogy, and I'm only, then I don't need an assistant. I don't need, you know, hardly anybody else to help me do that. But whenever I start getting into other systems or other processes, I'm relying on other people or other things, right? And so it gets bigger, and that's where you have to open your mind up to how Holy Spirit operates. And so one of the things that I also started, you know, my key thing that I took from all this, Ryan, is actually based around John 15, you know, 1-8, I believe it is. And, you know, where it says that I'm the vine and, you know, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away and so forth like that. But anyway, so the Father is very interested in fruit too. And I remember reading a book. This is, goodness, way back whenever I had to be like in my early 20s, and it was on the fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, we know about the fruits of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, whatever they all are. And I remember the whole entire book talking about how to develop this fruit. And it was several years later, as I grew spiritually, grew more mature, I had a revelation that the fruit is ultimately produced not by how well I make the fruit, but how well I'm connected. Because it says, I believe I wrote it down right here. So in Galatians 5:22, it says the fruit of the Spirit. So all of a sudden, here we are now, back to this whole entire thing of Spirit-led, you know, walking by the Spirit in order to produce the fruit. If you can think of it on your own, if you can think of it in your own, you know, mind, and on your own, then you're doing results. But whenever it's Spirit-led, then all of a sudden the results, actually the fruit, is beyond you. And it's going to take a step of faith. It's going to be bigger than you, than what you have. I had a conversation with a person, this is called a person, yesterday. And they've got a business, and that business has, you know, seen a uptick a couple of years ago, but that person has not really got back to that result or that thing back to where it was at. And bottom line is I asked the person, I said, let's peel away the business real quick. Let's peel away what is going on with the business. And I know you've got business questions and things of that nature. Let's peel that away and let's talk about what your conversation was like. What was your last conversation like with Father God? And so that person began to talk to me about it was this and it was that, and I was going to him about this and I was declaring that, and I was, you know, talking about this with him, and I was, you know, asking him to do this and that. And then all of a sudden, when that person was done, I said, okay, what did Holy Spirit say to you then, say back to you about all that? And on the phone line, there was silence. There was no response. There was no response of what so it was a one-way conversation for that person to their Heavenly Father. And I feel like that there's something in this, Ryan, with producing fruit versus results. If you want to, you know, tap into this whole better way of doing things, that people need to start to have confidence in being attached to the vine. And so, Ryan, tell me this. How do you hear from Holy Spirit? How do you stay connected to the vine? I want to hear that from you. How is that done? How do you do that? And what does that look like?
Yeah, for me, a huge part of my ability to do that, the process I use is journaling. For me, journaling is absolutely huge. And there's something about that process, just having to write it by hand, that slows my mind down and gets me more centered in the present moment, which is a huge part of being able to hear clearly from God. And what I will do is I'll bring prayer requests up, and I don't think that there's anything too big or too small for God to get involved with and be able to help us with. So I'll bring little things to him, but what I'm much more interested in is not so much, I mean, God already knows the thoughts in my head. What I'm a lot more interested, kind of going back to what you just said with that other person, is, okay, that's great, but what is he saying to me? And I'll actually use a different color pen. You know, I'll have blue for what I write, and then I'll have red for the Father and green for Holy Spirit, and that doesn't really matter. But the point is, I'm using some visual different pieces when I start to feel like, okay, now I'm receiving, I'm not transmitting. This is what's coming to me from the Holy Spirit, from the Father, from Jesus. And so when I look back through my journal, I'm much more interested in the red ink than I am in the blue ink.
That's good stuff. Amen. Yes.
Yeah. And so that's how it is for me. And I think anybody can benefit hugely from journaling, but you know, everybody has their own process, their own way of connecting with God. Like, I've got one coaching client who, she's very athletic. She's a dancer, you know, and she really communes with God, very powerfully through physical activity and movement, you know? So when she's worshiping and she's moving around, she's receiving a download from the Lord in that moment when she's exercising or cheerleading or whatever it is, you know? And I'm the same way with that too. I have my journaling thing, but then I also, some of the times I get the most inspired revelation is when I'm working out really hard, you know, whether that's, you know, on the treadmill, on a run, if I'm, you know, just taking a hike outside. So there's something about this kinesthetic approach that, you know, is very powerful for me and some other people. And then maybe other people, it's by painting or drawing or creating music or listening to music. There's any number of different ways that you can tap into this. And, you know, I don't want to tell anybody, well, this is the way I do it, so that's how you need to do it. Yeah. But for me, I would say the biggest thing is by far journaling. And for me, usually when I'm quiet before the day's really started, ideally first thing in the morning, you know, is when I can do it. But again, there's no set formula. My roommate is the exact opposite. He's a night person. And so he'll have his time with the Holy Spirit, like the hour before he goes to sleep, just in his bed, listening to the word, whatever. And that's his way of doing it. But I think the most important thing is to find out what, you know, what process works for you, and then prioritize that. And then, but I think the writing part is important, you know, to just keep track of, okay, what's God saying? Like, I had this amazing revelation. It was like 3 days ago. What was that again?
Right.
So whether you're dancing or working out or whatever it is, I think just having some way of capturing those nuggets, you know, and going back to them. Like, I have a whole, you know, separate folder on my computer of prophetic words that I've received over the last 10 plus years. And I go back and review those periodically, because the Lord can speak to us directly, you know, through journaling or just our own personal quiet time with him. And he can also do it through other people, you know, that prophesy and speak that word of truth into our hearts. And he can also do it through circumstances, conversations, any number of ways. But I think the critical takeaway in all of that, no matter how you do it, is what is God saying, and how am I capturing that? And then most importantly, how am I actually going to trust him and move forward in that?
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, the Lord's always talking, you know. I mean, he's always talking. And, you know, I think I even said it, you know, with you or with someone. I mean, I always go back to, I remember sitting there reading, I was reading a book from Charles Capps, and he said a statement in the book. He said, you know, where the word actually talks to you and is backed up in scripture, and is in Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm like, I've never seen that. And all of a sudden I go back and look, and I'm like, holy cow, there it is. It says the word will actually talk to you. The instruction will actually talk to you. It will actually go to bed with you. It will actually protect you, and it will actually talk to you. And I get this sense as I talk to people about that. I'm glad you gave those number of examples of different people, of your roommate, of the, you know, girl that does the dancing. I mean, with that conversation I had with that person, you know, one of the things she said this basically that she goes, well, what if I don't, what if I don't hear anything? I said, then just trust your heart.
Yeah.
Trust your heart. What does your heart say? Where's your heart pulling you towards? I mean, one of the litmus tests that you can always remember is something came from, you know, one of my pastors back in Columbia, South Carolina. He said, the enemy will always put pressure and push you to do something. And the Holy Spirit will always be a gentleman, and he will always draw, and he'll always pull
yes.
you towards that
yes.
thing. And because we have this new heart, God's given us a new heart, and he's actually written his word on our heart. That's in Jeremiah. That's in, I mean, Joel, it's all over the place in the Old Testament and even in Hebrews, that he's given us a new heart that we've got to begin to start to trust our hearts.
Yes, absolutely.
And when I said that to this, you know, to her, and she was just like, yeah, okay. I mean, it was almost like a relief that, because unfortunately, and I'm, again, not bashing the church or anything like that, but a lot of times, you know, you hear people talk about, you know, the heart is the evil, you know, thing, and it's all whatever. Well, praise God. God gives us a new heart.
Amen.
And, you know, what happens on what our heart has been made right. Our spirit man has been made right. When I say heart, I mean, spirit man has been made right. It's the thinking, the soulish realm, which we have to continue to renew our minds. And just even going back to that whole entire John 15, whenever Jesus talks about fruit being produced, well, it only happens by pruning. And that's not God disciplining us with the hand. It's with his word.
Yes.
And it's changing our mindset to, again, the word talking to us and redirecting us and saying, oh, I never thought about it that way. Like this morning is a great example. I was sitting there reading a book, and the book cited this whole entire thing that the Bible says in, I think it's Psalm 78, or I think it's in 70 or 78. Anyway, it's in Psalms, that the Lord will not allow your cattle to decrease. Mm. And I've got a situation in my life right now, seeing some decrease in a certain area of my life. And you know what? But the word says that the Lord won't allow that. So I've got to renew my mind to that and say, okay, I that needs a prune clip right there. So that shouldn't be happening because of what the word says. So there's something in my brain right now that I need to clip. So once I clip that, all of a sudden the fruit that in that area or in another area is going to start to now get that nourishment that needs to be coming to that fruit that's yes. going to produce better, more luscious fruit and a better yes. crop, much fruit. So that's, I want us to, I guess that's kind of where I wanted to go with all this conversation right here, is because I have people, you know, my listeners that say, well, I just don't know how to hear from the Holy Spirit, or I've never heard from the Holy Spirit, or what if I miss it? You know, stuff like that. And, you know, I've had to say, look, even if you miss it, God's bigger than you're missing.
Yes. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I'd rather you take action in faith.
Yes.
And trust that God will fix whatever mistake you might make. Let's have more belief in God than your own mistake.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. That's so well said, Tyler. I think that's one of the biggest things that holds believers back from receiving that revelation, that life-giving truth from the Holy Spirit, is that they're so worried that they're going to miss it, they're going to hear it wrong, that they're not going to hear anything. And I think you hit the nail on the head, which is at some point, you know, you've got to trust by faith. Going back to the grace thing, you know, it's not us, it's the Lord. And if he truly has, if we are born again, he's created a new heart within us. we have his spirit. Literally, we have God living inside of us. I mean, that's just an amazing, mind-blowing, you know, idea. Yep. At some point, we've got to trust that he is actually influencing our thoughts, feelings, decisions, our inclinations. And to believe, you know, I like something that I think I read this from Andy from Heaven in Business. And he says, Andy Mason. And he said, I used to always say, it's probably just me. It might be God. And now as he's grown in his spiritual walk and had more faith in his, in the Holy Spirit inside him, he has transitioned to saying, it's probably God. It might be me. Mm. And I think that's a great way to go about it, you know, you know, it's only through those higher thoughts that come from God that we're going to be able to tap into things and kind of just bringing it full circle. You know, one of the ideas in the pruning is, you know, it's limiting thoughts and belief patterns, their lies from the enemy or from whatever. Those are what need to get pruned so that what is there, what remains, will grow stronger and be more nourished and more nourishing. And so for an example, in my own life and business, you know, when I was looking to buy some real estate several years ago, the Holy Spirit really pruned my thought process and said, look, you could use a mortgage and that's not a sin. I can bless that. But why don't you challenge me for my best where I could give you a property or help you to find one and finance one where you don't have to use debt of any kind. And that was a total paradigm shift. And then sure enough, you know, I'm open to that just barely, you know, of how the heck is God going to do that? Well, that's his problem, not mine to figure out. Sure enough, I meet somebody through a very different strategy, bought, you know, across the country in a different place, and was able to use some really creative financing, you know, through using cash value in a life insurance policy combined with savings and some other investments that were lower yielding, not as fruitful, if you will.
Yeah.
And put all that into an all cash purchase of this property. And that kind of gives us the idea of the assembly line. And, you know, it says in the word that we have to labor to enter his rest. And that's an interesting thought. And that laboring is that process of making that divine assembly line in our belief systems, depending on God. And in this case, it's also to me analogous to generating passive income. So instead of having to work for your money, you have your money work for you. Yes. And that takes more time, intentionality, education upfront, more capital to put that in. But using that property as an example, I took some money I had as a seed, put it in there. Now that money's working for me. Every month I had a great passive monthly income. And then when I recently sold it, I had an even greater increase and I was able to put that back into a policy that was earning cash value and continuing to work for me. So all that to say, it's kind of this idea of, as opposed to no matter how much you can directly produce with your own hands in business or your spiritual life, you're going to be limited because eventually you want to be able to scale and set up a system and a process that works for you, whether it's passive income from real estate or other business opportunities, or if it's just depending on God and having that assembly line of, okay, Jesus, you're the one who performed on my behalf. You're the one who's going to continue to perform on my behalf and give me not only greater results and prosperity and health and healing, but you're going to help me to live better accidentally under grace from a behavioral perspective than I ever could on purpose with my own effort under the law. And that's the difference. The law, trying to live up to the commandments of the law, is results. Living under grace, effortlessly exceeding the requirements of the law and having more fruit and peace is going to be the fruit.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Because this is how, I mean, if you just look at the life of Jesus, I mean, it was effortless, right? You know, and I feel like that, you know, for my listeners, and I know for your listeners as well, you know, we've got to take that step of faith, and it's not blind faith. It's not you should hang your faith on something. It's not something, I'm just going to go do this just because they said so. No. You've actually got to go and get some understanding on certain things and then apply it in faith and not just blindly do it. And this, you know, from whatever the Holy Spirit's leading you to do, that thing, you're going to need to get some understanding about it. And God's grace will do more and produce greater fruit for you than you trying to do it all yourself. And it's a much better process. It's like what we keep saying. It's like you're not going to have all the tragedies going through trying to just get the results. And, you know, so Ryan, this has been good. I know I wanted to have you back on the podcast, you know, for this whole entire conversation, but you know, I really do believe we tapped into this about, you know, having that spirit led or that, you know, fruit of the spirit and really understanding how the spirit operates and taking that step of faith with that. So Ryan, I'll let you kind of wrap up real quick and then I'll close this out. But any parting thoughts on this right here?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head in many different ways, Tyler, in this conversation, which really, I think, wraps it all up. And of course, there's so much more detail we can go into and how this plays out in so many different ways, you know, agriculturally, business, financially, any number of things that we could apply this to. But I think the most important fundamental aspect undergirding all this is that we really just receive, take that time to not only speak to God, which is important, you know, it shouldn't just be only listening. We need to pour out our heart. We need to, you know, I think there's something powerful about making prayer requests, you know, making declarations of what we're hoping and believing to see. But again, I think, when I look through my journal, I'm much more interested in the red ink, which is God speaking to me, than I am the blue ink, which is me speaking to God. And so however you do that, when he starts to speak to you and you get this revelation, and I can attest to this from my own personal experience in so many different ways, as I talk about, you know, a lot in the book, but when he starts to give you that revelation, it'll be spiritual, but it will also be very practical. And, you know, there will always be some kind of practical manifestation, demonstration, or outflow of that. And I can say that, you know, since I've adopted this philosophy or this revelation, that my life has improved on so many different levels, not just spiritually, but also in these other ways and practical ways. And so I think just the big takeaway that I would say for anybody listening is trust that if you take that time, set it aside to hear from God, however you do that, that he's going to speak to you, and then be able to capture that somehow and review it and go back to it, chew the cud, if you will, meditate on it.
Yes.
And then there will always be, I guarantee you, when you're hearing from the Lord, if it's a problem you have, like you were talking about, you've got some decrease in a certain area of your life, he's going to show you. And it's probably not going to be the way that you thought to do it. But that's, again, why his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when you start to tap into that infinite source of wisdom, direction, guidance, strength, favor, opportunities will open, and you'll have a much more fulfilling relationship with God. And I think you'll get those results that we talked about that make people want to pay attention to us, because we have something that they want, and we get to share it with them. And that goes back to, you know, the fruit is not for the vine or the branch. It's for something or someone outside that ecosystem.
Yes.
Yet the branch is nourished by the nutrients coming from the vine. And the vine, or the vine dresser, in this case, the Father, he's glorified by us bearing abundant fruit, which is answers to our prayers and a life that reflects the goodness of God and the gospel. So I just encourage everybody listening, you know, prioritize setting up that assembly line, if you will, that belief system that's biblically based on truth, on grace, on what Jesus did for you, not what you can do for him. And more you receive from him, you're going to end up doing way more for him than you ever thought possible. And it will be more effortless, and it'll just improve your life in every way. So I encourage everybody, this is real. This is not hypothetical. I've experienced this firsthand. You've experienced this firsthand, Tyler. This is why we do this, to talk about, you know, this isn't just words on a page. This isn't just theology. This is real life. And, you know, I'd love to hear the testimonies of anybody who starts to do this and sees how it, you know, comes back to them and what they're doing differently and better.
Yes. I love it, dude. I love it. Kingdom Success listeners, listen to me. Let's hear from you. Let us know. Okay. I tell you, we want to hear from you guys. And gang, we're going to wrap it up with this. Know that you're blessed. You're highly favored. You're empowered to prosper. You walk in divine health. The spirit of breakthroughs upon you guys. And gang, we'll catch you on the other side.